Okay, class, let's get started. Again, we welcome those online students as well. I got a chance to meet a lot of them, a number of them, this week with Dad Apostle Thompson in North Carolina. So a shout out to all those I met out there who's really enjoying our class. So it's the grace of God and a grace on Apostle's life that's fallen on us. So we're so honored. Dad Thompson really, again, always teaches our class every Tuesday. When he's teaching our class as well. And if we hear him teach, we can pull the nuggets and say, okay, that's what we're studying as well. And so it's important that we learn to follow the example, stick close to the example that God has placed in Abraham in the earth for us to follow. That's a living example of God's master plan, and God's original plan for all of us. And if we stick close, as Dad said, it's impossible to follow him without what's on his life coming on your life. And I'm a part of that testimony group as well, that my life has tremendous change since following, connecting, and connecting properly and sticking close. So if you do the same thing, you cannot help but get the same results. And God wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. Okay, tonight also we want to do something that's a little different, adding on to our class, what is called meditation scriptures. There are meditation scriptures that when I was a student in school, the instructor would always give us a meditation scripture to remind us to study on or meditate upon, and also was always, every now and then, was on our quizzes or either our exam, what was the meditation scripture for class. Okay, so our meditation scripture will come from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 3. Genesis 12, chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 3. And also Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Everything we've been teaching you so far in chapter 5, being geared up to those two scriptures of God's original plan, a covenant that he cut with Abraham. Everything we've been studying about the mindset, having a mindset, a set mind, a course of action, a course of doing a certain thing a certain way consistently all the time, is a mindset change. You got to practice it over and over and over again until it becomes as breathing to you. It's so natural that I'm doing it without even thinking about it. Most of us go through the day all day, never think about we're breathing because it's so natural, it's so common to us. So when you develop a mindset, it becomes so natural to you and common that you do it without even thinking you're doing it, without much effort of doing it, because it's a lifestyle to you. It's not just something we do, it's my lifestyle. And so God is developing us and already has prophetically set us to a place that we would become harvest millionaires in the earth to do his bid. Every one of you are sitting here right now, a potential, have already been ordained for it, already positioned to be a multimillionaire, materialistically, money-wise. You're already sought for it in learning how to appropriate it in the will of God to receive what God wants you to have. He wants you to have, it's already there. You got to know how to reach it by faith, activate your faith, to make sure it become now tangible, not just spiritual, not just from a promise, but for a manifested position. I have it. I'm walking it. I'm living it every day in the manifested. And that's where God has taken us to. And that's why this study is so important to us, to understand how to get to that place and how to maintain once we get there. So God is always about building character. Before God positions you, he always conditions you. So your tests, your trials that you go through every day dealing with life are conditioning points so God can position you in that position so you can maintain a kingdom assignment for his glory. So you can maintain the kingdom assignment for his glory. And that's Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, verse 3, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. This is why your mindset must be constantly renewed and transformed into the thinking and mind of God, having the mind of Christ, the mind of God. So this is where we are. This is why it's so important that we get this lesson into us and begin to appropriate, begin to practice it every day. That's why I keep telling you about staying out of cheap places, learning to sacrifice, stretch, put back so you can have an encounter of what it's like to live in the wealthy place where you are now. You know, buying things that you normally didn't buy because you have made a decision in your mind to go to that place. And by making sacrifices, cutting off certain things, doing certain things that robs you of the $25 to $45, learning to put it back sacrificially, it says, Friday is going to be my night. I'm going to enjoy myself on a higher level. A higher level. I'm going to buy the most expensive bottle of water in the place. You know, I'm going to enjoy myself. You know, maybe get out the get some sparkle water or something. You know, we call it in New York gas, having gas in it, you know. But the idea is learning how to get to that place where I live a flourishing life. But if you never try to go there now and taste and see the goodness of God, then you'll never have a mindset to reach over there because you never taste it. Dad talked about tasting tonight. You got to taste it. Get an encounter, have an experience. You know, when you spend $100 on a steak and, you know, it ain't much, but it's the idea, it's the experience. It's the experience. Learning to get to a place where you tip your waiter $100. Learning to stretch yourself little by little how to get there and experience that place, man. And once you get there and taste it, it's out of sight. You want to live there for the rest of your life because you taste it. You taste it, okay? So we got some things we need to do tonight because we're going to close out chapter 5. So we need to move to page 142. Page 142, the second paragraph, we'll begin there. We dealt with some areas talking about the poverty mindset and also the middle class mindset. But now I want to give you 20 pointers that we need to talk about having a wealthy mindset, what wealthy people do, how wealthy people think. We're also talking about purpose, that God has created me for a purpose. You know, so therefore, my drive is my purpose. My drive is my purpose. What God has created me for, what God has given me my assignment. That's my purpose. That's my drive in life, to fulfill that, to fulfill that. So once I leave planet Earth, I leave here empty. I have done everything God told me I need to do and haven't left nothing undone. So I leave here empty. So the next generation will be enriched by everything I've done. They'll be enriched by everything I've done. Okay, so every one of us is going to leave that legacy. Okay, the second paragraph is this. The wealthy have a driving force that, again, doesn't make much sense to the other classes. The wealthy class have a driving force that does not make sense to the other classes. Why do you need to do all that? Why you don't need to take all that? Why you give all that kind of money away? Why you do all this kind of stuff? You know, in the middle class, in the poor, assignment is gathering. But the wealthy class is about giving, about giving. So the wealth mindset is about giving. God has created me to be a giver because my father is a giver. So I'm created to be a giver. So I need much wealth, plenty of money, so I can do a whole lot of giving away and blessing people, and blessing people. Okay, so the answer to that statement that he said the wealthy have a driving force that, again, doesn't make much sense to other classes is down further. He makes a statement here. I marked it for you and moved away from it. It says here, third paragraph, Miller Way says connections. You see the word connections? In the third paragraph, or one, two, three, the fourth line, connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. So make a note of that. Connection is the driving force of the wealthy class. Connection. And Dad Thompson always talked to us about connection, being properly connected. Connections is everything to the wealthy class. Okay, it's who you're connected to. There's one great theory, one great study that says that the closest five people to your life identify yourself with those five closest people to your life. So those persons are poor or they're middle class or whatever, it identifies that you are a partaker of the company you keep. So the five closest people to you identify you. It identifies what's in you, what drives you. It identifies your tendencies, because you always connect with people who are like you. You connect with people who are like you. So I always keep myself understanding what company I'm in, whose company I am. I'm in, you know, and to become like them or to become connected to them, that the gravity will pull me up to the next level. I gave you the example. If you're a five, you don't need to be connected to a three. That's going to slow you down. That can belittle you. That's going to take you from your drive or who you really are. If you're number five on a scale of 1 to 10, you need to be connected to a 7 or an 8. Somebody who's going to stretch you, pull you, make you mad, you know, and all kind of stuff, irritate you from time, because why? They're stretching you to come to the next level. They're pulling you to come to the next level. And sometimes walking with Dad Thompson, that's what you get. You get stretched, you get pulled, you get irritated, you get all kind of stuff with him, but you don't fall out with him because you got to love him. You know, you just love him. You love the connection that you're connected to. But he stretches you and pulls you to that next level. Okay, so put that as number one. His idea is that the wealthy have a driving force that, again, doesn't make much sense to the other classes, and that driving force is the power of connections. Connection is a driving force for the wealthy class. So think about who you're connected to and where you're going. Number two, they get out of bed in the morning to establish and strengthen their connections with others, world changers. They get out of bed with the purpose of strengthening their relationships with other world changers. And that's where you want to be connected to. People who are making a difference. People who are making changes and adjustment in this generation, preparing it for the next generation. You don't want to be people that's talking around about Young and the Restless and all other kind of craziness that goes on in the social media world or television entertainment. They're spending hours and hours doing nothing. Smith Wigglesworth says, why waste your time doing nothing? You know, so you got to understand that spending time with people about connection, because wealthy people are always talking about creativity, always talking about what we can do next, where we're headed, how can we make life better, a change situation. That's what they're always talking about. But small minds always talk about mess. They always talk about gossip, you know. And so you wrong folks are talking about gossip. Just realize I'm taking your number out of my phone. I'm cutting you off tonight. You know, because I'm not talking about people mess and what they're going through. How do we make them better? How we make them better? That's what we're talking about. And that's what the wealthy do. They're always thinking about how we make life better. Dad talked about the now generation that we're in now, how moderate it is, how technologiable it is. Advanced, he's talking about his watch, how he can leave his phone at home and still get everything on his watch. It has advanced. We use the material, but we don't let the material use us. You see, so the generation that we're in is, how do I make it better? How do I empower my generation so they are better tomorrow than they are today? That's what you want to be thinking about. You know, socializing with, conversating with people at that level. Okay, number three, the wealthy understand that there are a few powerful decision makers who make the global economic, social, and political climate what it is. There are a few world changers who make that decision, those decisions. Folks on the top, we call them the top 2%, the most wealthiest people in the world, the top 2% who regulate the 98%. You know, you must set your mind to get in the top 2%. God want me there so I can bring change, so I can bring empowerment to the next generation. So I need to be in the wealthy class so I can bring that change. It's not always about me and my toys. I get my toys, but I got to realize that the wealth that he's given me is not all for me. It's to empower the next generation and this generation to bring change, to bring change. There's some people need a scholarship. You need to be able to pay for it. That's not your children. You see, but some kid who worked hard, some kid in the neighborhood and broke through a certain mindset of thinking who don't have the money to go there. But you know what? I'm going to pay for that for you. That's the kind of mindset we got to get in, you know, to make everybody else better. Okay. So, all right. Number four, it says they are very concerned that they have connections to those decision makers and work to get as close to them as they can get. Same thing with our apostle. You know, that's why we got to, God put me in a position, show me, Holy Spirit, how to become better connected with Apostle. I need to connect properly with him because what's on his life, I need that. I need what's on his life to empower me for my assignment that God has given me. So I need to get close to Apostle Thompson, to his teaching, picking up his books, reading all his books, watching all the DVDs I can watch, getting all the CDs I can listen to. It's one of the ways I can get close to him because I'm not trying to connect to his hand. I'm trying to connect to his spirit. It's where I'm trying to make my connection. It's not a flesh connection. It's a spirit connection. He don't have to say, hi, hey, boo, whatever. He got none of that. You know, just let me be in the arena. Just let me stay in the arena. I catch your spirit. I catch your spirit. You see? So that spirit of familiarity, we don't need that. Okay? So it's about connection. Connecting with those who are the decision makers.
Number
five. The wealthy don't spend their lives working away at a job. So you got to realize, you know, get out of your mind the retirement theology. You know, what we grew up with was the theology is once I graduate from school, get education, get me a good job and work 30 years and retire. Retirement is not everything it's cooked up to be. If you are not prepared to live after work. You see, so you got to make up your mindset. I can't wait to get these 30 years in, man, these 31 years in, so I can retire. Man, that ego ain't bringing that much money to afford you to live on that lifestyle you're trying to live on. You see, so you got to put yourself in a position of the kingdom of God where God can empower you to live the life without limits. Without limits. Take a vacation for 30 days and don't come back. Everybody, lose my number for 30 days. I'm not talking to nobody for 30 days. Okay? I'm gone. You got to get that kind of mindset because this is where you want to go. You know, even Jesus took a break and took a rest. You know, told them guys, look, come on for they worry us. Let's take a break. Let's get out of here. You know, you got to understand at time that you got to put the hammer of work down and rest yourself and get your rest and your peace and your spirit so you can be fueled to continue the journey. If not, work will wear you out. Even ministry, it will wear you out. Okay, so the wealthy don't spend their lives working away at a job. They are not training. Listen, they are not training their children to get a job. They're not training their children to get a job. And the first thing my mama told me, soon I graduate, you either go to the army, you're going to get your job. And most of our parents told us that when you get grown, you need a job. They never told us get a business. They told us get a job. And that's why most of us wind up working, looking for a retirement. Looking for retirement. In a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the poor dad told his son, the poor dad's son had a relationship with a rich kid who had a rich father. But he lived in a poor neighborhood, but he had a relationship with him. And so the poor father told his son, go get you a job. But when he went to his friend's house, his daddy was telling him, son, we're going to start you a business. And so he got his training from his rich dad and not his poor dad because the mindset was different. The mindset was different. It does not make sense for you to put 4 years in college only to go sit in a cubicle and fulfill somebody else's dream. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't even add up. That's stupid on steroids. It don't even add up. You know? No, you go get educated and start your business. And that's what you got to program yourself. I'm going to start my own business because my own business is I got my own clock. I'm my own boss. That's where you want to go. You know, nobody can dictate to me. I'm my own boss. You know, that's where God wants to set you, but get your mindset to get over there. You know, I'm not looking for a job. I'm here to take over. You got to get that mindset. So we're not training our children to get a job. So next time when you young ladies who don't have kids and you other young guys don't have children, when you get kids, you train them to get a business, not a job. Not a job. Okay. Also, it goes here. Instead, they send their kids to schools where other powerful world changers send their children. Wow. Dad Thompson talks about positioning your children to give them an advantage. To give them advantage. Now, public school is okay. But if you can put your kids in a private school where they have some of the best technology, the best teachers, because they're getting paid on a higher scale, that's where you need to put your children. To give them an advantage because, in fact, they got to compete with the society that we're living in. You know, they got to compete with that. The kid right next to you in that other cubicle, that chair sitting over there on the other mat you sleeping on as a pre-K, that child either going to be your boss or you're going to be their boss, a covenant partner. You know, it's competitive. It's competitive. So we got to prepare ourselves to compete in the next generation. But we don't give our kids the same thing. Oh, you're on a public school. I came through. I'm okay. But look what you got. You got a job. No, you should have had a business. If you had a business, I wouldn't go to college. I'd have to work in my own business. But you didn't prepare me for it. Okay? So it's a mindset change that the wealthy cares. Here we go. It says here, connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. Gave you that for number one. They believe that it's not what you know, but who you know and who knows you that makes you successful. It's the power of connection. Who you're connected to. Who you know. See, God has already positioned somebody with wealth to favor you and bless you. Already established. Somebody already wealthy to give you favor and also to bless you. But you got to make connection. You got to be a people person. You can't go on an island when you're broke. You got to be a people person. You walking up the ladder, you got to make certain connections to get to where you're going. So connections are important in order to be successful because of the fact, my brother here, my sister here, you know people I don't know. Okay? Because me and you know each other. We're covenant brothers and sisters and brothers. So therefore, if I needed a certain person to do a certain thing, I call you and say, hey, look, you know somebody who do plumbing? You know somebody can handle taxes for me or whatever? I got a situation. I need an accountant or whatever. You say, oh, yeah, I got a friend that can do that. I got a friend that can handle that. Guess what? I'm going to get, because of you, I'm going to have favor. It's the power of connection. But if I just know my little four people, I'm going to be hurting, man. I'm going to be hurting. Because, in fact, I need to make connection because the more I make connection, the more people my circle expands and the more favor God can show me. But if I become an island with pride and arrogance, you know, got my nose stuck in the air, I'm going to drown on my own island. You see, God don't want you. He wants you in the power of connection. Dad Thompson says, you think about this pulpit behind me? No, I've been in many more pulpits to get in this pulpit. See, it was connection. The whole journey was connection. He was connecting with people to get him where he is. Today, it was the power of his connections. And because he was connected, he got exposed. The people say, oh, you connected to him? Oh, okay. Well, what's in him got to be in you. So his door opened because of the power of connection. Because of the power of connection. That's where you want to go. Make strong connections. People who are making a difference. People who are making changes. People who can empower you. Take you to the next level. That's where you want to go. Okay. Number six. Am I right? Yes, sir. Protecting and developing these relationships with each other helps them to know what is going on all over the world. The power of connection keeps you informed. The power of connection keep you informed with world changes around the whole world. People, when people know you, you become a connector. One great teacher says when you study successes, it says never eat lunch alone. Get to the place where you're so connected that you never eat lunch by yourself. There's always somebody who wants to be in your presence. They want to draw from your anointing, your information, your experiences, as well as your wealth connections. They always win your place. And so, think about it. The way you get there is you got to surround yourself in an atmosphere where wealthy people hang out, where great thinkers hang out. Okay? And great thinkers are always hanging out where knowledge is. Fools always run for knowledge. You see, people don't get to pick up a book to read. They're not in a library. They're not up in, we still have one, Books a Million, one of these places. Barnes and Noble, you know, they're never picking up a book. Run. That's a dummy going nowhere. Because, in fact, he's not empowering himself with knowledge. He's not empowering himself with the wealth of knowledge that can take him places that he never would have got before if he would not have had knowledge of how to get there. You got to empower yourself. And that's why reading is so important. Picking up books is so important. How to become a 1-minute millionaire. You know, picking up books that empower. Your dad was talking about another book tonight. About the court, you know, how to get that order. You know, picking that book up, read. When he tell you about a book he's reading, go buy one, pull it, download it, and start listening to it over and over again. You know, you'll be amazed about the power of engagement. How to connect with these people will give you so much favor. Will give you so much favor and open doors, man. You get to a place where you don't pay for nothing no more because people want to bless you. People want to bless you. You know, people want to do things for you. Why? Because the favor is on your life. They see what you don't see. They know you got the goods. You think, well, I'm still in school, man. I'm still trying to learn how to do this stuff. Yeah, that's okay, but it's on you. And the world recognizes those who are in power, and they cater to them. They cater to them, you know. So be one of those persons that God calls the world to cater to you to support your vision as a world changer. As a world changer. Let's see, can I get there? I'm just on number six. Oh, goodness. All right, it says here that world leaders in politics, finance, and society are choosing to spend their time with each other for a reason. I'm hanging around you for a purpose. Dad said, don't hang around me without a purpose. You're trying to get what's on my life. Hang around to get it. Hang around to get it. I don't want nothing. Yes, I do. I want what's on your life. I'm not sowing for nothing. I want what's on your life. I'm sticking close. I want what's on your life. That's why I'm sticking around here. You know, you got to understand. I got to be here for a reason. Elisha didn't hang around Elijah for nothing. He told him at the end, I want a double portion of what's on your life. He stayed with it. Okay. He said, knowing that they direct the largest portion of the world's resources, they work to protect the momentum of their ruling class and its members. When you make that connection with those people who God has chosen to favor you, to bless you, and empower you, you must make sure that you protect that covenant. Protect that relationship. Because you realize this person I'm connected with, this group of lines that I'm in, these are world changers. These people are dominating, they're ruling, they're making things happen. And I want to be a part of that. That world change. So I protect the relationship. I don't let nobody talk about them, nobody put them down. Because you got the old one do the blogs and all the other kind of stuff they want to do. That's a fool. You know, but the idea is you gotta understand these people have no revelation. Why I'm around, why I'm connecting. You know, to make the difference. So you don't pay them no attention. Don't pay them no attention because they're not gonna do anything in life but be takers the rest of their life. But you gotta become a giver. So you gotta make connection and protect the relationship with those you're in covenant with. Okay, that was number seven, by the way. Knowing that they direct the largest portion of the world resource, that's number seven. Number eight, they understand ways that the other classes do not. They have lived lives of limitlessness and know what it takes in character and responsibility. That's number nine. They know what it takes. They know what it takes. We hang around them because they've walked a journey in the path that we're going to walk. They're forerunners. They're pioneers. Like Apostle Thompson is a pioneer in the apostolic. In Money Cometh, he's a pioneer. He done walked the road and he got the goods. He got the goods, so he knew the rope. So when he's telling us his experiences and what he did to get there, the sacrifices him and mom made to get there, you know, the kids spent their whole summer in camp meeting, you know, in Tulsa, in different places. He said, man, you got to make it happen. You got to do the same thing. You got to deal like the other man dug if you want what the other man got. That's how you get there. You know what happened? We're looking for shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to good success. No shortcuts to good success. You got to know that. Even if it's willed it to me, if I have not developed my character, I'll lose it all. If I have not developed character. So one thing the wealthy think about is character and responsibility. You must develop character and responsibility. Talent can take you places. Character can't keep you. You see, it takes character to stay on top, not just talent. And that's why so many guys in NFL, NBA, and these places get this money coming from poor neighborhoods. Money they never had before, but they never developed their character. And so what happened is they got a whole $3 million signing bonus, but go steal something. That's stupid. That don't make sense. You got $3 million in the bank. Why are you going to go steal something? No character. No character. You see, character is important and responsibility is important. So you got to develop character. So when Dad is stretching us, he's developing character in us. Open rebuke, he's developing character in us. The challenge, he's developing character in us. If we practice it and stay with it, it's going to make us the men and women of God we're supposed to be. So once we get to our wealthy place, nobody can take it from us. Nobody can take us from take it from us. Oh, 9 minutes. Okay. The clock is really for me, not y'all. Okay. Number 10, the wealthy will do everything they can to teach their children how to handle, protect, and pass on the secrets of living in limitless freedom. You must train your children. You must pass this legacy on, this succession on. You got to pass it on. You got to teach them these principles. Sometimes it's being hard on them, challenging them. No, you got to break this way of thinking. You can't live like this. You can't act like this. You know, we don't think like that. We don't act like, we don't behave like that. And so a lot of times they think you're trying to keep them from something, but you're trying to take them to somewhere. But it takes character to go there. It takes this kind of development to get there, you know. And so they have to understand that. I'm stretching you. I'm pulling you. Telling no, you can't go to the movies tonight. No, you can't do this tonight. You need to get in there and study the word tonight. You need to get in prayer sometime tonight. You know, you need to go clean that yard up tonight. You know, those type of things, developing character to you, because when you become a man, you got to clean your own yard. Until you get some children to run out there. You know. And then it's your turn. You know, that's where you got to do it. Okay. So number 12 is believers. I love this. He said, believers who embrace the priority and power of connection will invest their time and energy to build relationships with other revivalists. Dad talked about that. And invest in training their children to do the same. That's number 11? I gave you number 10? Okay, I'm on number 11 then. All right. Okay, good keeping of your listening. Dr. Price will tell you, I said 11. I heard Dad do that a couple of times to us too. Okay, so we got to train our kids. We got to invest in your children. Very important. You got to train them, invest them the secrets, and invest them with the energy to build a relationship with others. You see, people will think, well, you're trying to be all that I am. I'm trying to go somewhere. I'm trying to make some stuff happen. So as a circle, I got to hang with. Dad said, don't be an eagle hanging around chickens. The two things I know about chickens and eagles, chickens get eat, eagles don't. You know, if you hang around chicken, we're going to eat you sooner or later. Somebody's going to kill you, you know. But eagles don't get ate. Okay, we soar above the crowd in the chickens. Okay, so be an eagle. Number 12, they will make sacrifices. Here it is. They will make sacrifices to be where God's anointing is pouring out. You got to make sacrifices to be when Dad hit that poor, that Apostle Tom hit that pulpit. You got to make a sacrifice. Even sometimes when you're tired, you got to come in your work clothes or whatever. Put some extra clothes in the car so you can get here, get to the restroom and change up if you got to. Put a suit on, a tie on, whatever you got to do. But you got to be here when he's in position because he's in his heyday. He's pouring out, and you got to be there to receive it. Internet don't do no justice because there's too many distractions. And folks know who watch the internet that you're in the refrigerator. You're up in the kitchen and everywhere else. You're not really paying attention. You're skipping and hitting and missing. That's what you do because too many distractions. You got to be there in the presence so I can be attentive to what's going on without distractions. So I can hear what God is doing and pouring out. You see? So don't cheat yourself. Make the sacrifice to get in the place where the anointing is being poured out. That information is being poured out. That importation is taking place. Okay? So that was number 12. Number 13, they will study and experience, they will study and experience the works and wonders of God's happening all over the globe. When you get in position, you're going to experience that God is moving all around the world. That your world where you are is too small compared to what God is doing. And your connections will keep you informed and either cater to you to make sure you are part of the explosiveness that's happening around the world. Dad talked about world evangelism, global evangelism. The reason why God wants me wealthy is because he wants me to get the gospel to all the world. He wants all the families of the earth to be blessed. So I have to be one of the conduits who have the wealth to go tell somebody who don't have a car, I'm going to go buy you a car so you can experience the goodness of God. God did it. Don't thank me. God did this for you. You know what? That man eventually going to start thinking about, man, I need to get saved. I need to get my life right. God sent somebody to buy me a car? No, God up to something. I need to find out what he know. Find out his connection. That's why dead is so easy for dead to get a lot of people saved. Because they come and they see him on his big porch and they look like, you stay here? And he started talking to him about goodness of God. Yeah, I want to get saved. I want to get delivered. I want to get delivered. You know why? Because, in fact, he got the goods because people not only hear about God, they see God in demonstration. You know, so when we pulling up witnesses of people, we need to see the goodness of God on our life. You know, that's not our ordinary suit. That's not our ordinary dress you got on. Them shoes, I know what them shoes called. You know, that purse you got on your arm, oh, no, I know what that called. That's not one of them knockoffs. You know, no, that's the real deal. Why? Because you're showing me, because God said, I want everybody to know that I bless you. And the heathen is not going to be changed because we have a good, we speak in tongues. The heathen is not going to be changed because we have prosperity. They see prosperity. You got to be stronger than the heathen. You know, that's why drug dealers talk to dad because he got more than them. You know, God has shown himself stronger. He can witness to them and have a rapport with them because of the fact his goods outnumber theirs. So your God's stronger than ours. We're on the call all night. You sleep. How are you making that happen? You know, okay, number 14. They would not be satisfied. I love this. They would not be satisfied to work for God, but will not stop until he pours unlimited resources through their life to the lives of those around them. Do not become satisfied just because you're on the usher board, on the choir, or in a parking lot attendant. No, God, I'm not satisfied just to be a worker. I want you to bless me with so much that I become a conduit that you can change other people's life through. That's where I want to go. I'm not going to be satisfied until that happens. I'm not going to die until I get there. God, if I got to stay here 200 years, I'm going to stay right here until you do it. You see? I'm not going to be ready to go home until I get satisfied. Okay? So you got to get to that place. Hunger for it. Ask God for it. Seek it. God will make sure you'll get it. Okay? Number 15. Wealthy-minded believers are melting their hearts with apostolic and prophetic leaders all over the world and directing their lives, energy, resources, and time toward the success of these leaders. God has sought you and I here to undergird apostle as our leader so we can give him our resources. So the gospel can get to all the earth so he can be adequately funded to do everything God put in his heart to do. So God wants me to become wealthy so I can support that vision at a high level. At a high level. So I can start writing out $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 checks to support the work of the ministry. You know, we ain't got to have telethons. We don't need that. We got 200 millionaires up in here. Anything we need to do, we want to start a school over in Africa. I got that one. You know, let's go to Europe now. Let's put one in Europe. I got that one. And we're going to line, man. All these people got money to make that happen. To make that happen. So God wants to raise up you and me to make that happen. Dr. Cho raised up over, I think, 300 millionaires in his ministry. So his ministry is so wealthy. You know, he got over the biggest church in the world. You know, he's over now over a million members in his church. So he got millionaires that support his ministry. He go anywhere he wants to in the world to do anything he wants to do and never do a fundraiser. Well, God want to raise those kind of men up on a dead Thompson because dead has the money coming anointing. He got the apostolic of money coming. It's on his life. And so we should really get it, the outpouring of wealth, so we can fund that vision and that purpose around the world. He should never have to ask for any kind of offering. No, we got that all through the church. We're going to make this happen. Get a drop of a hat, Dad. Ain't going to take no hour, no one check going to take care of this. We got it. We gone with it. That's the way you got to understand how to make sure the man of God is taken care of. That's why God wants you to have the money. Okay? Hear your neighbor say, God going to show me the money. Yeah, God going to show you the money. He going to show you how to get it. He going to show you how to get the money. Because you got a purpose. You got an idea. You got a vision on the inside of you that's burning that don't want you to sleep. I mean, he got to get you up through the night, a man got vision inside of me. I can't sleep. And my time is up. I better leave. I won't be teaching next week. God bless you guys.